Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about having 10% skill and 90% luck. Before we do that, though, let's take a second and talk about Casual Fridays REI consulting program. Guys, we're really excited to be offering this. Basically, we're here to help. It doesn't matter if you're brand new to this and you just want some help picking and pricing a county, or you've been at it for a while and you're looking for some help on ways to expand. All you got to do is go to our website. It's www.casualfridaysrei.com. Click on the consulting tab, walk through the sign up, and then we'll be in touch to help you get started.
He's back.
Yeah, it's like you never left.
It probably felt pretty good that you had a few days off of me, all of me.
God, it was like one of those nagging things, right, where you annoyed the heck out of me, but then you were gone. I was like,
you missed me, didn't you?
I'm not going to admit it.
You just did. No. Your lack of saying so says it all, and I'm like going to tear up a little bit.
Yeah, there's only two people I talked to. It's or three if you count Mary Beth, but like you, my dad, and Mary Beth, and You were gone. Uh-huh. My dad was gone.
Oh no!
And Mary Beth was gone too because she's studying for some exams right now. So she was like studying the whole time. I think I went two full days without speaking to a soul.
That's sad. I need to get you some more friends.
Yeah, anyone listen, just call me. Like I just want to talk to you.
Hashtag Adam needs a new buddy. Oh man. Well, it was a bug bitten trip. It was black fly and mosquito season up in Western Ontario, Northwestern Ontario.
Yeah, I was talking to our buddy Gerd before you left, and he was telling me about the black flies. I was curious how that was going to be.
When he said that, I was thinking like regular. When you mentioned, he'd mentioned, hey, it's going to be black fly season up there. I was thinking like the regular house flies that we see, and I was like, those things don't bite. That, I mean, if they're just swatting like a horse, you know, whatever. But no, legit, they're like super sized fleas, and they just come at you. And I had a thermosel, I had DEET on, I had a bug suit. And I came out pretty easy compared to the other guys. I had about 15 bites on me that aren't too bad. But there was guys, like their whole foreheads were just eaten up with just bites, like scabs, arms covered in scabs from just scratching them off.
That's not for me.
Yeah, it wasn't for me either. It wasn't for me either. So 10% skill.
Wait.
Okay.
Are you going to lead into how your hunting went with this, or are you going to just
Yeah. That's where that came from. No, we're going to talk about it, but okay. I can't just tell you what happened. We got to lead into this.
Okay. All right.
I mean, today's going to be story day.
All right.
And we're going to tie this back in because Justin needs a tax break after his hunting trip. And we're going to make this trip about an educational land/hunting adventure.
All right.
So, Mr. Taxman, if you're listening, this was a work trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you were on land to explore.
I did. I got a bunch of good content. Yeah. And so here we are now.
All right.
So 10% skill, 90% luck. So I'm riding with one of the outfitters. He's a super cool guy. He's probably our age, 38, 40. His father-in-law had the hunting rights for this area, and we're driving. And at this point, I'm like 30 hours in a stand. And he's, you know, laughing, you know, the Canadian way, just friendly laughing. But he's First Nation up there, and that's kind of the equivalent of being a Native American here. They have special laws and rights that they get because they were first in the nation, hence First Nation. So we're driving back from one of the stands. He went and took me to a stand, and we were baiting it and looking at it and just kind of deciding if it had been hit, if that's where I wanted to go next. And we're driving back. He goes, you know, it's 10% skill and 90% luck, don't you know? And I'm like,
did you have to do the accent?
I did, because they say, you know, and these guys were like from the bush, like that were with us, and super great guys. Couldn't ask for a better group of guys to work with. But when he said that, I was like, I always talk about an aha moment. And it took me to a time where the guy we talk about, the father-son team, and that I do multifamily with sometimes or houses with. And when we went to a charity event together, and he was talking about, you know, there's very few men that actually have to hunt for their dinner. And he refers to it like entrepreneur as a hunter. So that came back instantly to me. And then I started thinking about us, what we do on a daily basis. We go hunt for land. So we can hire the best outfitters, right? A guru or a coach. We can get the best software, the guns, the tools, the camo, everything. But there is no way that any one of us will be able to replicate another person's business to the exact nth detail, right? Because the bear or the human seller when we're shopping for our property with blind offers, they have their own mind. They work in different ways. They may show up at 9 o'clock in the morning today, may show up 10 o'clock at night tomorrow. This person may be willing to sell today, where last week he wasn't when he got my offer. Mm-hmm. So no matter how much skill we can develop, there's still a piece of luck to this. Mm-hmm. And so when he laughed and told me that, I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. No, no, it's not like that. But deep down in my heart, I'm like, this guy's freaking right. Because it dawned on me that some of these consulting clients that we have, or some of the people that go through these educational courses, and they come out and they try it once, they don't get anything, right? Mm-hmm. And they're so distraught. They're like, oh, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's crap. But they don't go back to that stand the next day. I spent 35 hours total over 5 days sitting in a chair, being perfectly quiet in full camouflage. And I did not see a dang bear until the last 45 minutes.
It didn't shoot it.
No. No bear. I paid the best outfitter. I went with my biological father, who is a world-class hunter. He has killed bears there. The guys in our group, we set a record for the outfitter in amount of bears taken in the first night. We had 9 hunters, 6 bears taken the first night. And I don't see shit for 35 hours. 35 hours and 15 minutes, I see a bear. And he wasn't there for the bait. He smelled me. Like, he was looking at me the entire time. Looked into my soul. He was about a 300-pound cinnamon black bear. That's the bear legends are made of if you're black bear hunting. If you're cinnamon or a blonde, everybody gets a black bear their first time, but that's like the legend bear.
If he was looking straight at you, why didn't you get to shoot it?
35 hours in a stand with a gun. You're holding it crossways in your lap. He comes up on the inside of some trees where I couldn't see him. I saw something move. Didn't know if it was a black fly or what it was, because we got black flies all over my bug suit, you know, so you're just seeing shadows at all times. So for that long up in like a tree perched, you're not going to sit on the scope that entire time. Well, he comes in and he is literally 10 feet in front of me, but he's like 15 feet below me. And I can only see him for 4 steps. So he takes 2 steps looking right at me. He looks down, kind of smells the ground. And so at that point, I take the safety off. I go to scope up on him and he heard the safety and he was gone. I saw him for 2 more steps and he's off in the bushes again. Couldn't get a clean shot.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. And so this whole time I'm like, was I upset? I mean, I paid good money to go on an expensively roughing it camping trip, it seems. I caught a cool fish. I got to hang out with some guys I didn't really know that well. And they're all just you couldn't find a better group of guys to hang out with. You know, would it be cooler if it was your own buddies? Yeah, but this is kind of what not about this bear camp. It's you go for the camaraderie, you eat deer, you eat bear, you catch fish. They were frying fish that they caught fresh, northern pike, walleye. Great fishing around it. You know, got to know my brother-in-law a little bit better, got to know my biological father a little bit better. So all in all, it was a cool trip. But when you go to get a bear and you don't get one, there's a letdown because you've prepared for this.
Yeah, it's definitely a letdown.
So what can I take away from this? And now me and you are probably, as we send mailers out, we know that some of them aren't going to get something back, right? Occasionally you hit a spot that just doesn't produce. You don't get hate. You don't get anything back. So you don't really know what went wrong. And that's kind of what happened here. I'm like, I got the best outfitters. We know there's bear. They had 60 bait barrels and I hunted like 4 different stands. I was putting the time in. That's just what they said. You put more time in. You couldn't put any more time because the bears only come at certain times. They knew they had a cycle they kind of hit. And we were there that entire time. So I slept on a cot in a cold-ass tent in my dang sleeping bag. I kept telling him I was getting in my sleeping bag backwards, I guess, because I'm a side sleeper. So when I would like curl up like a baby to get comfortable to sleep, my damn zipper kept coming down. So it's 30 degrees at night. My sleeping bag went down to 40. I'm in pants and a sweatshirt. I'd wake up, my sleeping bag would be unzipped to my ankles.
To your ankles?
Yeah, man, I wiggle. I'm a wiggler.
That's a little low. So I see your point here, I agree with you that there is luck.
Uh-huh.
I think saying 90% in the land business is too much.
It is. I agree with that. And we have got it. I feel that me and you have got it down to a point where there is a little bit of luck involved. But I always go back to the idea you have to be prepared and you have to be there. It's not like I'm just going to randomly see a bear in my backyard in Burleson, Texas. Mm-hmm. No, I had to get the Outfitters there. I had to go through some of these steps to get there to have that opportunity. And so that's where the skill, and look, 1090, those numbers are probably way off for our business, but it does hold some merit here. And so there's something to take from this as a land investor. Call yourself a land hunter. You know, you get a course, you learn it, you do some coaching, private coaching, you get the tools in place, the software, you get in the stand, you send your mailer, you know, using like offers to owners, and then it comes back and, you know, you may not hear something. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is about, is that I don't want you to get discouraged. You still have to put more time in. I cut my trip a little bit shorter than everybody else just because, A, Plum was blowing up, Lamuel's blowing up. I got 3 small kids at home, and I wanted to be home for Father's Day. Mm-hmm. So I cut my trip a day, like 2 days short, which, you know, there was one other guy that hadn't got a bear when I left. He got a bear when I left. So,
yeah, when I think about the land business, when you're new, there's going to be a lot of luck because you haven't really refined your process.
Yep.
But that's why you have like someone like us to help you out, or, you know, whatever you have. But as you progress and you get better, like it almost seems my misses are so few and far between now because I am very narrowed in on what I'm doing.
Yeah, but you look at it as a miss. You know, if you think of every offer that you sent as a shot, you miss a lot. But we don't look at it like that. Like, our mindset has changed to a point where each mailer is a shot. We take one shot, like essentially from being 1,500 rifle, like sniper shots on a person's op. We say, hey, we're going to shoot a shotgun up in the air at all these birds, and a pellet's going to hit something.
Well, I'm talking about the mailer itself.
Okay.
You know, like very rarely do I send a mailer and it bust nowadays.
Well, if you send 1,500 pieces of mail and you buy 3 properties, you had 1,497 fails.
That's not what I'm talking about.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a perception of mind, like a mindset. So you have to send more mail. You can't send 200 pieces of mail and expect to work. So you've upped your volume. You've dialed in what needs to be done and when to do it. So that skill is there. Yes, so we're saying the same thing, but there's a perception that a lot of newer people don't understand that.
Okay.
So they'll come back, and I've heard it verbatim on 10 consulting calls in the last 3 months. Hey, well, I sent 500 pieces of mail and I didn't get anything. Y'all just don't know what you're talking about.
No one has going to say that.
Not me and you, but yeah. You know, you people that teach these land courses and talk about this that say you're going to get one for 300. Well, I sent 500 and I didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate that one for 300 because that's like an extreme average, you know?
Yeah.
If you look at someone who sent 100,000 offers and you average that out, okay, maybe one for 300, but
yeah,
not that we know anybody who says one for 300.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, there's a mind shift and a perception it has to have. And that's what I'm saying, is that you look at it as a mailer as a whole, is not like each offers an individual shot, because your mindset shifted. The whole mailer as a whole didn't go bust because only 3 properties got bought. That was still a successful mailer because you still made $60,000 or $70,000 off that mailer.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at it as a per offer thing? I don't know if I ever looked at it that way.
I haven't. And I think it's because we got such a good response on our first one. We had so many people that tried to sell us property we just didn't buy, but we ended up buying 21 pieces of property on our first mailer. So what I'm saying that from the mindset I've heard, you know, the pulse I've gotten from a lot of the newer investors. You know, we talk about everybody thinks this is easy. It's going to be setting your expectations the right way. It's not just overnight success. But, you know, for me on my hunting trip, we started hunting on Saturday. 6 hunters get a bear, and all of them get to pose with their bear. You know, there's 3 of us that didn't that night. It sucks. That's like going to a live event and hearing a guy say that on his first deal he makes $100,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on your first deal you made $400. You know, that's...
$400.
Yeah, $400. And you hear that and you're like, well, what am I doing wrong? I've got the camo. I've got the bug suit. I've got the rifle. Mm-hmm. I can hit something at 100 yards with no issues, but nothing got in front of me.
Yeah. I see your point. I mean, I definitely agree with you. There's luck here.
Yeah. I know what you're about to say, because I'm thinking the same thing in my head, is the luck, but is it really luck if you're prepared for it and you go in looking for it?
I think that you can refine it to a point where there's very little luck.
Yeah. I think there's still always going to be that piece, because we are putting the opportunity for somebody in front of them, and we're lucky that that person needs to sell at that time.
Mm-hmm. No, that part is true. That part is true.
So there's always going to be that piece there.
That's why I like one of my favorite sayings is that credit card one. I know you've heard me say it before, right? It's like you get a credit card offer in the mail and you don't need a credit card, so you throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. But then next week you need a credit card, so you take it.
Yep.
Right? That's okay. So that is luck, right?
Yep.
You just happen to get your...
And I agree with you that, is it really luck though?
That is luck.
It's success is what, when preparedness meets opportunity?
I don't know if we go back and forth trying to define what luck is, but like
I know, but you're exactly right. And that's the trick to this. So, you know, for the newer investor that's listening, we do appreciate, I know we gear a lot of this to some of the newer investors, and we do appreciate all the range of investors we have, because we hope that you all take something from this and as you help people grow in their business. But, you know, you can't rely on just the 300 mailers and you've given up on this business.
We can agree on that.
Yep.
Yeah. In fact, even if you sent like a 1,500 your first time, mm-hmm. you can't give up after that.
No.
I mean, because that's a learning experience more than anything. And if that really hurts your pocket and that's all you can do, well, okay, we should have adjusted a little more, you know, like be prepared to do two mailers.
Yeah.
Of good sized mailers.
Yep.
And then I'd be really surprised. Two or three. I mean, I don't know anyone who's ever failed on two or three complete mailers.
Yep.
Do you?
I've got somebody I'm working with right now, and we are on our second mailer together, and we've gotten kind of creative. She's owned a few rent houses and flipped a few houses, so she's kind of more real estate minded, and she's like, yeah, I want to try some fun stuff, and so just try to get a little creative on the data. So we've done that, and we've had properties come back. It's just not, they're not super duper home runs. And so I don't want to say we failed on them, but
we steered away from some
of the plan and some of the deals. But she's got, I think, one on her plate right now that it's 40 grand for 40 acres that comps at like 90. And I think it sells at 75, and it's not a home run, but for a house flipper, that's a pretty solid deal. You know,
oh, this was for houses.
No, this is for land, you know, she's the guy. We offered 17, a guy countered back at 40. I think we get it bought at 28, is what I think gut wise. I think it sells for 70, and if we can do that, you know, I'm pitching them to her and putting them all in front of her so she can see them and make these decisions. But you know, it's part of it.
Like for me, I think what you just said right there sounds like the exact reason why it hasn't been a home run, right? Because you veered away from the plan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you stick to the plan, just like we would tell any newbie, right?
Yep.
You're saying she wanted to. Try things different, right?
Yeah.
If someone came to me, it's like, I need a surefire way. I'd say, these are the rules.
Yep.
Stick just to these rules.
And in three mailers, you won't fail. Mm-hmm. Two mailers, very rarely.
Very rarely, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we say enough?
I think so. So in recap, no, I did not kill a bear. So my pita-loving friends here, Mr. Cinnamon Bear, he looked into my soul, and we had a nice 10-second brief soul connection that in that moment, I did not shoot the bear. I couldn't get the gun up in time to get him, and he ran off and lived another day. A funny thing about that, one more little anecdote, the main outfitter, the father-in-law, his name is Carl, super great guy from the bush, retired paper mill guy. He owned the concession or the hunting rights for like 20 square miles. In Canada, the conservation program for the bears and things like that, and I could go either way on hunting. I don't hunt because I don't need the food, but if I do hunt, I take, you know, skin, food, use it, and we harvest it, and we actually enjoy it. When I do, very rarely that I do. But so Carl, he, you know, being this outdoorsy kind of just simple guy, he made a comment to me, and it was just really, really profound. The way it struck me, he said, we saw a bear, and it was probably 6 to 10 years old, and he's like, well, you know, bear's 10, it hadn't been killed in 10 years, eh? She's got to be somewhat smart. So to me, that just kind of stuck out that, you know, as people for or against hunting or the conservation movements of that, the bears last, you know, they have to get around these hunters for multiple years that are out actually hunting them. And then with the conservation program that Canada has, you know, even for not shooting a bear, I still had to fill out paperwork about what I saw, you know, how many bears were out there. And it really took me back to say, okay, hey, there's some good happening from this, because the overmultiplication, keeping the, because they don't have a natural predator except for humans, and then their environment shrinking down. So, you know, pretty cool, profound little thing there.
Nice. All right. Well, then we'll call it right there, guys. We're hoping you're having a great Monday. And do us a favor. Go to Facebook. Go to Instagram. Find us at Casual Fridays REI. Give us a like. Give us a follow. And then go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher. Go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. We love you for it. And we'll see you Wednesday.
Bye.